our sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, there are a few things more small town ordinary than a baby dedication. A small, simple act of piety and devotion. Surely a box that the literal Son of God wouldn't have to check off, right? Well, I guess not. This story that Ginny just read for us exemplifies, perhaps better than any other, the juxtaposition of the completely ordinary and the totally miraculous that surrounded every step of our Advent journey, every detail of the Christmas story, every aspect of the history of the church from then until now. The baby Jesus is being dedicated to his faith community, just like I was when I was a baby. And I'm pretty sure most of all of you were in one way or another when you were babies. Now, for Jewish folks, part of that tradition was offering a sacrifice at the temple. We're even told what Mary and Joseph sacrificed. Two turtle doves or pigeons, as was customary. Which was true to a point. It was customary, but they left out an important detail. When I visited the Taj Mahal, there were two admission fees. There was the admission fee for tourists, and there was the admission fee for locals. 150 rupees for me, 5 rupees for them. Because if you can afford to get all the way to India, if you can afford to take a vacation at all, then you can afford to pay the equivalent of 3 American dollars to see one of the most sought-after sites in all. But for the average person living in Agra, even 5 rupees was not an amount they could afford to take for granted. The temple sacrifice system, it had a dual admission fee model too. There was the price you paid if you could afford it, and then there was the price you paid if you couldn't. You see, the standard sacrifice for a newborn child was a 1-year-old lamb. But that's not what Mary and Joseph sacrificed. They sacrificed 2 pigeons. The poor folks sacrificed. So Jesus and his family, they're not just small town pious, they're broke too. And every word Jesus says about the poor and the downcast is not just him being charitable or good-hearted or noble. He's talking about himself. He's talking about his mom. Pretty much everyone he's ever known. Jesus is from the wrong side of the tracks. Jesus was the kid that only had a couple of shirts to alternate between to go to school in. Jesus would have gotten a free backpack from his local church, shopped at Goodwill, qualified for a free lunch. And when people thought to think of him at all, they'd think of him first and foremost as an outstretched hand asking for something, as an at-risk youth, as trouble waiting to happen. Well, that's what most people would have thought anyway. Not everybody, though. Not Simeon. And not Anna. They could see through the layers of what the sometimes too hard up to afford the good offering. And what should he do but say, "Excuse me, ma'am? I know you don't know me, and I know this may seem strange, but can I hold him just for a moment?" Because Simeon saw the truth, that Jesus was the Messiah, the promise fulfilled, salvation and revelation, not just for his people, but for everybody. He saw what almost nobody else could see. Almost nobody else. Except Anna, of course. Not much got past Anna. She had a reputation for being a prophet, a typical reputation for a woman to acquire at that time. She was 84 years old and had spent the vast majority of that time as a widow. Now, widow is one of those words that meant two things back then. Sure, a widow was somebody whose husband had died, but a widow was also an office within the religious community. They were kind of like nuns. They were those who chose not to remarry after their husbands passed away, and instead they dedicated their lives to serving at the temple. They lived at the temple, and they didn't have any money of their own, and were instead cared for out of the offerings made to the temple. They were totally, completely devoted to God and to their community of faith. And Anna, it seems, had been living as a widow in both senses of the word for longer than most people even lived at that time. Her husband only lived 7 years after they married, so let's do the math. The average girl was married off at around 14 back then. So she's married for 7 years. She's 84 now. So that's 63 years of service as a widow. So she, like Simeon, had had a lot of time to get to know the voice of God and know it well. And that voice spoke to her now as the Holy Family gathered to dedicate their baby, as Simeon sang about the fulfillment of his life's dream. And the message to her was the same: the redemption has come to all the world, and that it starts here with a poor family just doing what they know to be right, bringing their child up in the customs that have been handed down to them for generations, from the humblest beginnings to the salvation of the world. That's the gospel, and those are among its first recipients: an old man on death's door, an old widow. Maybe these aren't the hands to which we would entrust something so important. Maybe it's not the plan we would put in place. Maybe it's not the story we would write. And yet, the story continues to be told nonetheless. What better proof do we need that God's plans and God's way of seeing the world and the people in it, God's idea of just when and how to do things, are better than ours? So as we step from 1 year into the next,